Episode 447, Confessions of an Upset Mama, Me, Myself, and I.
It's time to train for life and love your journey. In this episode of Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie, you'll learn new ways to rediscover, rejuvenate, and renew your mind, body, and spirit. Please welcome your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching. Happy, happy day, sweet sisters. How are you doing? What have you been up to this week? What's been keeping you busy? Yes, that one famous word that we all love to talk about and use is, I'm so busy. Maybe you've had an absolutely extraordinary week. Or maybe your week has been a little bit kind of, not so good. It's been a monstrosity of a week that you just really want to run and hide away. Well, today we're going to be talking, it's all confession day. Confessions of an upset mama, me, myself, and I. Interesting stories here from this, and so I hope you really enjoy it. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, welcome to the family. I'm glad you're here. Hey, you know what? I want you to know specifically that if you need anything, I want you to reach out. I really am here for you. I want to understand where you're coming from. And sometimes being able to talk to someone who has a fresh set of eyes that, you know, isn't connected emotionally is always a good thing. And that's really, honestly, what I thrive on. I thrive on your goodness to greatness. I am here to serve you. So if you're wondering, oh my gosh, you know, I've had this itch just to want to talk to you. I hear you in my ear all the time, but to have a conversation would be like spectacular. Come on over. Drop me a little note. Come on, Christiane@createyournow.com. Send it to me and say, you know what? I'd really just like to visit with you. And I'm offering this up totally, no strings attached. I'm not going to sit here and try to sell you something. I'm nothing. It's I'm giving you and serving you. And that's what I want to do. So if that at all piques your interest and you're like, yeah, I kind of want to do that, just send me a little note. Kind of tell me what you're thinking about and we'll go from there. We'll get something scheduled. All right. Okay. We've got to jump in because I love confessions. I don't know why I love confessions. Maybe it's a freedom thing. When you talk about something in your past and you can come and kind of make it tangible, it doesn't seem as scary. And you're like, yeah, I actually went through that, but I also grew from it. There's a lot of stuff that can be hidden in our past. And sometimes we like to let it define us, but actually it only shapes us. It doesn't define us. And so today I wanted to talk about me, myself, and I. And this is kind of a weird one because I really, truly believe, honestly, if I can use any more honesty, trustworthy, authentic words here in this sentence, is that we are our worst enemy. We are the ones who stop us from going further. We don't allow ourselves to grow as much. For whatever reason, we have fear that has been instilled in our lives from how we were raised, maybe our job or career and those experiences. Maybe it's in having a child or a loss of a child. Maybe a relationship that did not work out and failed. And maybe it was abusive situations. Maybe it was a health issue, a disease that you maybe are currently battling or did battle. We are our worst enemy. We like to sit there and bury ourselves before we even have a chance to thrive. I know I was doing that, but I was doing it kind of in a weird, funky way. Me, myself, and I would look at what I thought needed to be done in the world and where I was and where I was, whether I was growing up and where I needed to volunteer my time, or when I grew up and became an adult and was able to make choices specifically for myself and our family. And I said yes to things, or I created things, because I actually thought that, well, that's what I was supposed to be doing. Now, not all of that was a bad thing. A lot of good came from it. In fact, a lot of greatness came from it. I've been able to serve not only children, but I've been able to serve adults and just the whole realm of what I've done. I really have been blessed. However, when I go back and start looking at the nitty-gritty of me, myself, and I noticed that one thing that stood out was I was doing things that others intended for me. The thoughts that were placed in my head. Let me give you an example. Growing up, I was the one who coordinated. Okay, I was the oldest of the nieces and nephews of the grandchildren of the oldest girl, I should say. There's an older boy, but I was the oldest girl. And in for my family, I was the oldest of three siblings total. So, yeah, call me maybe I have, you know, the personality A type. I want things a certain way. I kind of like control. Yes, I kind of fall into all of that. I would be a great test subject. But what I did when I was younger is there was something about it. I always loved performing, being up on stage, and it wasn't something that necessarily was tough to do. I really kind of got excited about it. I always had the butterflies in my stomach, but somehow I was able to get over that. And so when we would have family gatherings like Christmas and Thanksgiving, I would always gather up all the nieces and nephews, all my cousins. We'd all come together and I'd say, okay, we're going to put on a play. And I would write this play and we would play, quote unquote, it out. And then we would go and perform it for my aunts and uncles and then our grandparents. How cool is that? Well, the thing is that's really cool maybe as a child, but then I started to get older. Now, this may sound a little strange, but I kind of did the same thing as I got older. I created these amazing artworks and musicals and plays for children to come together, learn music, would memorize lines, but most importantly, would know scripture and gain a relationship with Jesus Christ, but then would perform it. Well, I'm not saying that's all a bad thing because I'm telling you, awesomeness came from it. And it wasn't me. It was God's work. And I don't put myself up on a pedestal. I had a team always that would work with me. I didn't do it always by myself. Yes, it usually started with an idea that came late at night and God and I had a little talk about it. But the thing was, is I did this as a child. And when I say as a child, I'm talking 3, 4, 5 years old and up. And then I started doing it as an adult, as if this is what I was intended to do in my life because I kind of did it. I was typecast. I put myself there because someone else had already put me there. And so I found myself falling there. Well, why not continue it? I felt very comfortable. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. However, it may not have been the best thing. Like I said, a ton of good came from it, and I wouldn't have changed any of it. But looking back, maybe I would have tweaked things a little bit differently, maybe not. But it's something that I noticed as a pattern in the me, myself, and I, the nitty-gritty of my life. The next thing I noticed is that I would create layers of excuses. You see, I wanted to go to college not to get an MRS degree, which it was funny because I was having a conversation with my daughter's prom date parents. Did you get that? My daughter's going to prom and his parents. Anyway, we met them and we had this conversation and the conversation went somewhat like this. He was looking at colleges and in one of the colleges review here locally, it talked about how, oh my gosh, I found my first true love and we have never been separated. We've been married for so many years. And they kept repeating this throughout this long kind of welcome video. This is what the college is all about. And her date said, I am not looking for that. Because of course, the older parents, wiser, he said, oh yeah, they're talking about the MRS degree. Well, I went to college not looking for an MRS degree. I had huge aspirations for myself, major dreams that I wanted to accomplish. One of those was to be a physician. And I was on that way. Now, I majored in music, and so I went on to go ahead and have a pre-med emphasis so I could go ahead and take the MCAT, which is the test you take before you get accepted and you apply to medical school. And so I went through all of that, and I probably changed my major, I kid you not, at least 4 times. Actually, now that I think about it, 5 times, because you can count the overlap. And I went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. On top of that, starting from the second semester of my freshman year, I was taking 20 hours or more a semester. Yes, that's chaos. Crazy. And I actually graduated early with a music degree plus a pre-med emphasis, a science and math minor, even though my college did not recognize that. So it was just totally, I mean, really, you kind of look at it and you scratch your head. And people would say to me, you know, Christiane, what are you going to do? Sing to your patients? Well, little did I know how much that had an effect on me. And so as I went through figuring out what I was going to do after I graduated, yes, do I want to go to medical school, really? Do I want to figure that out? Is that truly the next step? And I began applying, et cetera, et cetera. What happened was, I started actually adopting excuses for me. Oh, maybe they're right. Maybe I am better at the music thing than I am at the science thing. I really did have to work hard for my grade. I don't know if I'll make it. I began second guessing myself, which only led to what? A delay and me going immediately and applying for medical school. Well, as soon as my husband graduated, because he graduated on time. Unlike me, I was graduating early. I think it probably would have been better had I graduated on time. But anyway, we got married shortly thereafter, after his college graduation. And it was off to graduate school for him. And he'd already been accepted, and he knew what he was doing. And I was just like, okay, I had a real full-time job. It was great. I was working in the medical field. But it just wasn't what I really thought I was supposed to be doing. And so I began to sit here and started telling myself these lies and accepting these excuses that what others had intended, not for bad for me, but they ended up being for bad. And I began questioning every single thing I was doing. And so I found myself flipping and flopping, going, oh, wait, maybe I'll go to medical school. Then finally, when I committed to that, guess what? I found out I was pregnant with my first child. Then I decided, well, hubby's in school. We can't have two of us in school. So maybe I need to back off. I need to be a mom. I need to be available for my daughter. Well, at that time, we didn't know it was a daughter, but now we do. And so need to be available for the first. And so I said, no, I'll just keep doing this. And maybe then I'll go back. Well, then when that happened and after I gave birth, it was like, well, now what I want to do? I'm not really doing what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. Yet I had my own business. I was teaching music. I had my own personal music studio. I was traveling to and from the homes. We would put on the recitals every year. It was awesome. I was teaching, you know, anywhere from my amazing four-year-old, she was just a gem, 4 years old all the way up to adults. And I had a blast with that. And so then I would reason myself out again, falling into doing what others intended for me and these layers of excuses. And I began owning them as my own. Well, then what happened was, is I would attempt to, oh, well, maybe I should look at going to nursing school. So because I already had my bachelor's degree, I was actually accepted to the nursing program that I could receive my BSN in 1 year. It's an accelerated program. That's a crazy program. But you can do it. Guess what? I eventually talked myself out of it. I had all of these things going on in my mind, and it was my me, myself, and I. And I ended up digging myself deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, the cool thing is my whole life has brought me to you. That's what's awesome about it. And that's the blessing in disguise that I didn't see coming, that I didn't see that I would be here today helping women like you figure out where their lives are supposed to be, the journeys that they're on, how to complete themselves, how to find the me, myself, and I, and stop burying themselves. But you see, I buried myself for way too long. And not only was it what I wanted to do with my life, as in serving others, but it was what I wanted to do personally, who I was as a mother, who I was as a wife, who I was as a woman. I buried that. And I began, as I pulled apart all this nitty gritty, I was like, you know what? I'm changing for everybody else's sake and not my own. Yet it became my belief. And as time moved on and I had more children and more involved in the community, doing what everybody else thought I was supposed to do and following through with what I thought was really where I was leading, and maybe for some of it, yes, God said, hey, I got to get you back on journey here on my path that I have you, that I really want you on, because you kind of got a little on a detour, your own, but that's okay. I'm going to get you back on track. And he would send out red flags to me, but I didn't catch them. I look back now and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what was the me, myself, and I doing? I was trapped within my own beliefs, limiting myself, adopting the truths and good intention of others that really, they weren't meant for me. You see, I was truly a diamond in the rough. And that's my kiss to you today. You need to look for your diamond in the rough. You're the diamond. But you see, you might have been hiding because you get comfortable complaining. You get comfortable in misery. You get comfortable being the victim. You get comfortable allowing people to kind of feel sorry for you. And I'm not saying your whole life is filled like that, because my life wasn't. My life is joyous. But if I was to break it down into the itsy bitsy pieces, and I began to unravel it in the five senses, the taste, the smell, the touch, the see, the hear, then you begin to see, oh my gosh, I was not doing myself justice. I was burying myself. I ask you today, are you burying yourself? Because you need to look for the diamond in the rough. That's your ultimate kiss. What if I said, I have a gift for you, but you stood there with your hands in your pocket and you would carry on a conversation with me, but you refused to accept it. And I said, no, really, take this gift. I want you to have it. It's yours. And you said, no. So who has the gift now? I still do. You see, God has given you a gift. But maybe today it's just been buried a little deeper than normal. Or maybe because of life and circumstances and the tornadoes and the storms that have come your way and just, well, living, you have been buried deep. You, the diamond in the rough. So it's time to unbury you. It's time that you accept the gift. So what is this gift that you could be bearing? What gift are you hiding? What do you really want, but you're not willing to uncover it? You see, me, myself, and I, yeah, maybe I was a little scared, fearful, overwhelmed at times, moving around all the time, not really sure where to call home except for wherever the family was gathered, that was home. Wherever we hung our hat at the time, that was home. That's why I call Hawaii home. But when you go and you try to unravel the little intricacies of your life to understand the me, myself, and I, and why am I here today? What part of me did I bring to the table? And myself, did I really bring it? It's important to ask these questions. So what can you do? You're ready to awaken your five senses and say, I'm here to look for the diamond in the rough. I'm here. I'm ready to discover it. Me, myself, and I. This is what you do. Number one, listen for what you're telling yourself. For those little voices. If you're telling yourself the negative things, you need to change that message. Number two, see what you are and aren't doing. See who you are and what you can become. And number three, touch is the action behind the thought. We forget that so often because we're just going through the motions. You gotta stop. Touch is the action behind the thought. Number four, smell. I can't help but think of this statement, stop and smell the roses. Smell of your presence. Being present in your life, being present in the moment. That's what makes you incredible. That's what makes you you. And number five, taste of victory. The hunger for it. Wanting success. Desiring accomplishment. Knowing that you were doing what you were created to do or in the process of. Because it's not always doing the act, but it's sometimes getting there. The journey that you're on. Look for the diamond in the rough, because I'm telling you, you are some beautiful diamond. Just waiting to shine so brightly. Don't keep burying yourself in the me, myself, and I. Don't attach yourself to others' excuses and others' intentions. Begin to unravel what you need for you to look for the diamond in the rough. And know that I am here to help you, to serve you. So please reach out to me. If you're saying, gosh darn it, Christiane, this just is really hitting me. You know where to find me, createyournow.com. send me a message, christianne@createyournow.com. I love you so very much. I want you to go find that diamond in the rough because you are ever so beautiful, ever so incredible, and you matter to me. I can't wait to see you on the other side. Blessings, love, and lots of hugs. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.